Well, we're going to get our Bibles open now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, please put a hand up. One of our team would love to bring you one. Or perhaps you're using a phone or a device, in which case, do what you do to get to the place you need to. Ephesians chapter 6. As Tim's kind of pointed out, we're kind of working our way through different to what we normally do on a Sunday morning. Normally we just work our way through books of the Bible, but this month we're just trying to think as a church family, what has the Bible got to say about work? Work kind of universal, just what it is, how we're to think about it. But also we were trying to kind of focus in and say, well, what does work say to us as Christians? What does the Bible say? What does God want us to be in our workplaces? And our journey today takes us to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to pick it up at verse 5. Paul writes, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them, not only when their eye is, or to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." Friends, let's pray. Shall we ask for God's help as we come to this portion of his word, and then let's get stuck into it together. God, our Father in heaven, you say in the scriptures that the one you esteem is the one who is humble and contrite and who trembles at your word. And so, Father, we want to come with the right respect, with the right ears, the right heart today to receive what your word is going to tell us. Father, we thank you that your word calls us not only to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to the obedience that follows from faith. And so, Father, in your kindness, would you be teaching us obedience to the Lord Jesus today, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue our September series in work, what I'd like to do today is to bring to the table a question for us to hear God on, you know, a question that we allow God's word, the scriptures, to speak into. And here's the question this morning. What difference should being a follower of Jesus make to work? So if you've come with us on the journey so far, Tim reminded us of this morning, but we see in the scriptures that work is a good thing. It's a God thing. He made us to work, to be creative, to use our words and our energies and our breath to work, to bring this world into order. That's a good thing. But yet we've seen that work is also a cursed thing. It's a bad thing, and therefore work's difficult, and it's hard, and it's frustrating, and work sometimes gets ugly. And into this mess, God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent one who will save us from the curse, who's reversing the curse, who has saved us from what our sin and our rebellion against God deserves, and he promises to come back and put the world right fully and to reverse the curse in its fullness. But what difference then does it make to work today to be a follower of Jesus? You know, because actually work is still hard. Work is still difficult. What does it look like? What difference does it make to the way that we see work? What difference does it make to the way we do work? If I could put it like this, all of us are here, we're engaged in worship, we've just sung some amazing songs about the Lord Jesus, we're going to take the Lord's Supper and remind ourselves of God's grace to us in Jesus, but what difference does being together on a Sunday make to your Monday? When that alarm goes off tomorrow morning and you groan because you've got to drag your body out of bed and you've got to get to school or you've got to get to work or wherever it may be. What difference does Sunday make to Monday? And in order to kind of start to grapple with that question, because there's lots of answers to this question, and in order to start to grapple with this question, we're going to be here this morning in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, why start here? Well, because here Paul addresses two groups of people. He addresses, first of all, slaves, and then he addresses masters. So have a look at verse 5, if you've got your Bibles open in front of you. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. Slaves. And then he addresses in verse 9, masters, those in charge, those with some kind of authority. Now, whilst modern slavery does still exist, and if you've ever kind of followed that or prayed for that through the news, whilst modern slavery does still exist, this kind of slavery in the whole has kind of been abolished. And for that, I hope we thank God and are grateful for the abolition of slavery. And Paul here, as he writes to slaves and masters, we mustn't confuse what he's doing. He's not condoning the slavery that took place and the slavery that has plagued history. He's not condoning slavery, but here's what he's doing. As people all over the Roman Empire were turning to the Lord Jesus as the one who shows them grace and love and promises to reverse the curse, Paul now has to help them to be Christian, to be followers of Jesus wherever they are. He has to help them to be Christian in their workplaces. It's calculated that into the Roman Empire that this letter was written into, about 60 million people were slaves. Households were made up of slaves. It was kind of the way the culture just worked. The slave population covered a whole range of jobs. So if you were a teacher, you probably would have been a slave. If you were a doctor, you probably would have been a slave. And they used slaves for all sorts of menial jobs. And yes, it was a warped and a broken system. It would have covered all sorts of groups. But Paul says, I've got to help you as you turn to the Lord Jesus to know how to be a Christian where God has put you. And so Paul here is helping them. He's helping slaves to know how to work, and he's helping masters know how to be masters. And although perhaps to some of us it does feel like slavery, what we do, I think my children use that term about school very often, but although we don't live in this slave-master culture, I want to show you that what Paul teaches about being in the workplace here applies to work all through history. We're going to pick up this morning principles on how we work as followers of our Lord Jesus. We're going to learn what it looks like to be in a situation where maybe you have somebody who's in charge of you, a line manager, a supervisor, a teacher at school. Or whether you have people working for you. Maybe you have pupils in your classroom. Maybe you have a team that works under you at work. Maybe you have patients on your ward. Maybe you're retired, but you have people who come to your home and they do things for you because you're not so able anymore. Perhaps it's they do your garden for you. That's working. Somebody works for you. Maybe they come in and they tidy up your home and help you with the household jobs you can do. They're working for you. And so the question is, what difference should being a disciple of Jesus make to the way we work? And here's the big thing that Paul teaches us this morning. Jesus is your real boss. That's the big difference that it makes. Jesus is your real boss. Scattered throughout these instructions about work is an underlying truth that shapes everything that he goes on to say about work. And we've got to get this before we understand the commands he gives us. Okay, so look at verse 9. It's captured for us here. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. As followers of Jesus, wherever you work, school, home, in an office, wherever it may be, on a building site, we have a master in heaven. We have a Lord. Jesus is the real boss. Jesus is top of the tree, as it were. When I left school, I did an electrical engineering apprenticeship. And every day when I walked into the office where this company was based, there was one of these photo boards that had kind of pictures of all the managers in a kind of a tree-like fashion. Do they still exist in people's workplaces? Yeah. So you have this kind of hierarchy. And I was absolutely bottom of the pile as an apprentice in electrical engineering. And I used to have a nickname, which I probably won't tell you, actually. But I'll save that. That's an aside. You can ask me later if you really want to know. And then there was these pictures. So there was my manager, and then above him was his manager, and then there was his manager, and then above that, there was the big boss at the top, this big picture. And every day as I walked into this office, I would have to walk past this photo board. I'd be reminded every day, this is the hierarchy. This is your boss. This is the person that you're answerable to. But for those of us who follow the Lord Jesus, as we walk in, and perhaps you have to walk past a photo board, or you have a kind of a mental picture in your head of your hierarchy that you work for, as we walk in, there's another photo at the top of the tree. And at the very top of the tree, whoever you work for, whether you work for yourself or whether you work for a company, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our boss. He is really in charge. Behind every earthly master, behind every team leader, behind every supervisor, behind every teacher, behind every CEO, there stands for the follower of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly master. So look, just follow this with me, okay? I just want to try and show you this is absolutely fundamental for us as Christians. Look at verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. You see, there is one above us, a Savior, an anointed one, one who stepped down into this world to save people like us. There is a Christ, there is one we owe our allegiance and our obedience to. Verse 6, you'll see the same. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. We are slaves. Now, you may think, well, I thought slavery was abolished. But not to the Lord Jesus. And his slavery is not harsh. It is not oppressive. It is not mean. Actually, we could call it the freedom of slavery to the Lord Jesus. We've become his servants. He's our master. And then in verse 7, you see the same. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving, what does it say? The Lord. We have a Lord, someone in authority, someone in charge, someone who's seated on the throne of this universe. Friends, the way that being a Christian changes your work is that you walk in, whatever your work is, and you see that there's a real boss above all your other earthly masters. There's someone you really serve, you really belong to. Whether you are a worker or a work setter, whether you are a slave or a master, whether you're a team leader or a team manager, we have a heavenly master. And his name is Jesus. And actually, this Lord Jesus, and I wish we had time to see it this morning, because actually you begin to get a big picture of him. If you've been reading through the letter up to this point, when Paul starts instructing Christian households here, actually, you see that this Jesus, this Lord, this Christ is the one that God is kind of working out his cosmic plan, and he's bringing everything under his authority and his control. So this boss is really a very powerful boss, and he's a boss worthy of our affection and our love and our service. And I want to ask you this morning, just as we start thinking about this question, is that how you see things? Is that how you see your workplace? Is that how you're thinking when your alarm goes off on a Monday morning and you're dragging your body perhaps off to the train to get into London? Is that how you think when you enter the classroom? I have a boss, and his name is Jesus. He is our heavenly master. And maybe for some of you here this morning, actually, the first thing that you've got to be confronted is have you made Jesus your master? Here he is, that this heavenly Lord whom God is using to reverse the curse and put this world back together again. But as yet, you've not made him your master, your boss, your Lord, your Christ, the one who saves you. And the first place to start, before you even worry about what you do in work, is to get yourself under his lordship and to say, Jesus, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need what you did at the cross. See, what difference does being a follower of Jesus make to your work, whatever your work is, whether it's changing nappies, whether it's working on a building site, whether it's being in a ward, whether it's teaching, what difference does it make? Well, the first thing is that you enter that workplace and you say, Jesus is my real boss here. Jesus is the one I really serve. He's the one I'm answerable to. And if that is true, then how are we to work? Well, if Jesus is your real boss, we should work like Jesus is our boss. We should go to work. We should set about work like he is actually our boss, like his photo really does sit at the top of this hierarchy tree. Most of us are used to seeing job adverts, I guess, in different places. Imagine that this one came into your inbox or someone handed you a leaflet and the job advert read like this. We are looking for someone to work with us. They must be willing to carry out all our instructions with great respect, never talking about the leadership behind their back or disrespecting the leadership to their face. We would like this worker to be fully committed and willing to serve at all times, not just when the leadership is present and watching. We want someone who is always on the lookout for doing good and has high moral and ethical standards in the way they work. Now, is that a job you'd apply for? I guess most of us would be a bit put off of a job advert like that, isn't it? It's a job advert that's more about our character than our competence. It's more about kind of how we behave in the workplace than what we accomplish in the workplace. But friends, that is the job. That is the work that our Lord Jesus is calling us to because he's our boss. That's the way he wants us to work. With all our flaws, okay, we're never going to accomplish this, but this is what he calls us to. With his help, we can achieve these things, but this is what he calls us to. Look at this, verse 5. What does this look like in practice? Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. So let's get practical, okay? So you go into work, you have a manager or a line manager or a teacher, whoever it may be. If they give you an instruction, what is Paul saying here? He's saying, obey like Jesus had given you that instruction. Now that's quite radical, isn't it? Obey like Jesus had given you an instruction. To obey something, to teach you to suck eggs for a moment, is to carry it out. You know, there's different types of obedience, isn't there? You can have obedience that drags your heels. Yeah, all right, I'll do that. And you know, kind of huffing and puffing and dragging your feet as you go along. There's that kind of obedience, but there's also an obedience where you do it willingly and with respect. You see, perhaps when our manager asks us to reply to that customer or to remake that presentation that you've spent hours doing and they've changed their mind about how they want you to do it and you're frustrated, or perhaps they ask you to put away some chairs or to clean a table or stay for an extra hour to help out at work, we should do it. We should do it as if Jesus himself had been asking us to do that thing. That is what he says. Look very carefully at verse 5. Do it just as you would obey Christ. You see, as followers of Jesus, we are to be different in the way that we obey. We're to do it, verse 5, with respect and fear. Now, the phrase that lies behind that in the original language is the same phrase we get translated lots of times in the New Testament with fear and trembling. You read that phrase in the New Testament? With fear and trembling. Now, that doesn't mean you have to kind of go in and be quaking before your manager, although perhaps some of us do. But actually what it means is that you give them the respect of the position that they hold. You know, Christ is seated on the throne of this universe, and if he asks us to do something, we should do it because it warrants our respect and our honor and our obedience. But we should give the same respect to those who have authority over us. Now that is radical living, isn't it? Can you imagine if we all went out and obeyed in our workplaces like that this week? Will you obey like that? That's what Jesus is calling us to. That's what it means to work as if Jesus is your boss. Here's the second thing. To look at verse 6 with me. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. So we're to obey like Jesus has given us the instruction in our workplaces, but we're to obey like Jesus is watching. See, which of us hasn't ever fallen into the trap of only working hard when the boss or the teacher is coming? Sitting up in our chair when you hear that they're on their way past. Perhaps you're quickly changing what's on your screen from solitaire to the spreadsheet. Not that we're guilty of that here, I'm sure. You got your phone out like down here somewhere, and you know you're just sending a quick text message to your mate, catching up on the weekend. The boss walks past, and the phone goes away. I was remembering a time at school when the teacher had left the classroom, and our classroom just descended into chaos. And some guy let off a fire extinguisher, and it all got a bit messy. And then the teacher comes back, and well, on that occasion we couldn't hide it because the room was covered in foam. But then the teacher walks back, and everything goes calm again. Do we only work? We all fall into that trap, don't we? Of only working when those in authority of us are watching. Changing the conversation, perhaps, when someone walks past from a chat about the weekend to trying to talk about work. We all fall into that trap. Or perhaps we express it in another way. Perhaps it's simply that any time the boss comes near, we just drop into conversation how much work we've done so that they know we're working. I was up till 11 o'clock last night sending emails for work. You know, you must be so proud of me as a worker. But to work like Jesus is our boss means that, friends, we will do it like Jesus is watching us all the time. Like his eyes are never off of us. Because he is watching us, that's the point. He is our master in heaven. And so when that temptation comes to cut a corner, to leave a bit of work undone, to say that what people don't know won't hurt them, to say that, we've got to say no to that as Christians. Because we work like Jesus is our boss. We work like Jesus is watching, not only when our boss's eye is on us, not only to win their favor. And verse 7, look at what else it means in verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly. That word means willingly. As if you were serving the Lord, not for people. See, even when we're doing things for our teacher, that piece of homework they've set, or for our line manager, or for our family, we can do that bit of work as if we were serving Jesus. Now, this is quite radical when you start to think about this, okay? That means that when you cook a meal, you can cook it as if Jesus himself is going to eat it. And when you do that piece of homework, as much as this will pain some of you, you can do it like Jesus is going to mark it. You can build a wall of a house like Jesus is going to live in that house. You can treat that patient as if they were Jesus. You can mow a lawn and tidy a room as if Jesus himself was going to walk through that room. It's an act of serving the Lord. That is what it looks like to work as if Jesus is your boss. To work as if he was in charge. To obey in that kind of a way. And the same applies, actually, if you've got people who work for you. So in various different ways here, and perhaps some of us might sit in the middle somewhere, there's people we answer to, but maybe there are people that kind of answer to us, that look to us in some kind of way. The Bible, or Paul's got something to say to them as well. Sorry, I should have put that one up. Obey like you're doing it for Jesus, the very task. But here's the third one. We've got to learn to lead like Jesus. If you have people in any way, whether they come into your home to do some work for you, to help you out, or whether you are a manager and you have hundreds of people working for you, or whether it's just a team member who answers to you, whatever it is, we've got to learn to lead like Jesus leads us. See, look at verse 9. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Christian earthly masters are called to treat their workers in the same way that their workers are called to treat them. That means with respect and with integrity, with a desire to do God's will, to put his word into practice, to do the right thing, knowing that Jesus is watching us. It feels, doesn't it, a little bit like the outworking of what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, where he says, so in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's true if you're a master, and it's true if you're a worker. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Working for Jesus means that we've got to learn to lead like him. We've got to learn to be a boss like he is. And I want to ask some of you this morning, if you are a boss, and some of you will be in different forms, if you're a team leader, maybe just on one of the teams here at church, if you're a teacher and you have pupils, if you're, you know, have patients who look to you for some kind of help, would that be true of you? Would people look up to you and say, that's how this person leads us? They lead us like Jesus would lead us. You see, look again at verse 9. You get this little thing in the middle, and this carried a bit more weight in the slave master world. But masters, he says, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them. Now, threatening is an easy way to get what you want, isn't it? If you do not stay an extra hour, I'll put you on disciplinary. If you talk like that, you're going to be out of this job. Perhaps you have to sort of use threats. I'm just eyeballing a teacher for a moment, just to think, how do you get children to do what you want them to do? But actually, threatening in the master's world was a severe thing, and people lived in fear of their lives as slaves because they were treated like property. But the point, the principle is this: put aside threats, put aside that kind of leadership. Don't overbear people in your leadership. See, what difference does being a follower of Jesus make to work? Well, Jesus is my real boss. And so I should work like I'm working for Jesus, which means obeying like he'd given me the instructions, obeying like he is watching me all the time, obeying like I'm doing these things for Jesus, and leading others just like Jesus has led me. But the third thing I want to show you is this. Working as if Jesus is your real boss means that we work for Jesus' reward. We work for Jesus' reward. Look at verse 7 and 8. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Friends, as we take September to just think about our work, whatever it may be, whether we're retired or whether we have a 9-to-5 or whether we're school, can I ask you for a moment, very honestly, what are you working for? What reward are you seeking in your work? Maybe it's a better position. Maybe it's a better name for yourself. Maybe it's a better set of grades, a bigger pay packet, a nicer home, a company bonus. See, being a follower of Jesus means that when I go to work, whatever my work may be, as a slave or as a master, I'm looking for a better reward. Better than the one that this world can offer me. It's the reward that our Lord Jesus Christ will bring at his return. See, look with me again at verse 8. You see, you serve God wholeheartedly, the Lord Jesus, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Now again, please don't misunderstand this. This is not the reward of your salvation. This is not the reward of you getting into heaven. That's a gift to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the reward for the things that we have done for him now that we've become his servants, now that we've become his people. And working for this reward, if we get this, if we're working for that day, for Jesus' well done, good and faithful servant, if you are working for that, I have to tell you, friends, that it will mean that sometimes you miss out on the rewards that you might get in your workplace today. For example, seeking to do something fairly or properly might take more time. It might mean that you're unliked by others because you want to do things the right way. In a really small way, let me just give you a little illustration of this. When I was a teenager, I worked in Sainsbury's on the checkouts, and they wanted us. They had this, I don't know how they did it, I could never work out if it was true or a lie, but they said that they could tell how many items we were putting through a minute on these checkouts. They had some computer somewhere. And if you dropped below a certain number of items per minute, you were working too slowly and you got in trouble. And I was faced with a compromise because, you know, this was kind of second day in, and I was thinking, you know, I've got to beep, 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 getting them through as quickly as I possibly could. And of course, what happens at the other end is that you get this mountain of shopping that people can't put away quick enough. And I was torn in this setting between thinking, okay, well, look, there's an older lady here. She's clearly struggling to pack her bags as quickly as I'm trying to get these things through. And I was confronted with a situation. What do I do? Do I treat this lady with respect and help and slow down a bit so that she can get her shopping in her bags? Or do I seek to please the boss and beep, 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 just get them through as quickly as I can? It's a choice, isn't it? But what you do in a situation, who you're working for, who you're trying to please, in some settings may mean, well, you get in trouble with the beep, beep, beep counter, but you've done something in God's eyes, which is a precious thing. You've cared for someone. You've done good. You've helped someone. And we are faced, friends, with situations like that all the time in our workplaces. And we are called at some point to say, actually, working for Jesus means this. It means I have to do this, not that. And that will mean I miss out on an earthly reward in some kind of way. And sometimes when I get asked to do things in a workplace, and it feels like it's compromising what Jesus wants us to do, then ultimately you have to remember whose reward you're working for. I was chatting with someone the other day, and they were faced with a situation where their boss was asking them to do something that their conscience just would not allow them to do. And these verses here, if you've ever found yourself in a situation like that, these verses here really help us. Because at the end of the day, who are we really working for as Christians? We're working for the Lord Jesus. And on some occasions, there will be times in our workplaces where we have to say, I just can't do that because I work for Jesus, not for you. And on those occasions, some of us will find it goes well and you're met with a warm response and it works out okay. And there are plenty of stories within the church where that's the case. But sometimes when you do that, it won't work out so well and you may lose your job and you may get into trouble. But that's what it looks like to be living for Jesus' reward, for his well-done, good and faithful servant, not for the bonus or the promotion or for a good name among your work colleagues. We want to please Jesus. So friends, whether our work is, whatever our work is this week, whether it's going to school, going to college, whether it's university, whether it's kind of working in our homes this week, looking after kids this week, whether it's going out into the hospitals or whatever your work may be, and there's such a variety of work, a glorious variety of work in this room, whatever it is, whether we are workers or works letters, slaves or master, this is the difference, or one of the differences that being a Christian should make in your workplace. Who's your real boss? Good, at least four of you are still paying attention. Jesus is our real boss, and so you've got to work like he's your boss this week. We should work with his help, with all our flaws, knowing that we get it wrong sometimes, and there's forgiveness in his name, but we should be working like he is our boss, and we should be working for his rewards. Friends, let's pray together, shall we, about those things. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your grace to bring us under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that into the brokenness and curse of this world, you sent Jesus, your Savior. Father, thank you that you sent him to redeem us from being under the curse, redeem us from all that our sins deserve. And Father, thank you that we have the hope that one day he will remove the curse fully and that work and everything to do with this world will be restored to how you made it. And Father, please, as we live out being workers today in this phase, as we wait for Jesus to return, please would you help us to be Christian where we are. Father, we all have different work to go about in this room. And we ask today that you would give us eyes to see that Jesus is our real boss, that he sits above any earthly master we have, whether they are good or bad. Father, please, would you help us to have eyes to enter our workplaces this week, knowing that truth and seeing that Jesus is boss. And Father, please, with the enabling help of your Holy Spirit, would you help us to work like Jesus is our boss, to obey our earthly masters as if we were obeying Jesus, to work all the time when our boss is watching or not, because we know that Jesus is watching us. Father, please, would you help us to serve this week and to have fresh energy in our work this week as if we were serving Jesus himself. And Lord, please help us to lead like Jesus is a leader. Father, please, would you help us to be the workers you want us to be? Help us to live out being disciples of Jesus where you've put us. And we ask it in his name. Amen.